Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
The trial against Richard Allen, we're coming very close to a close by the time you are watching this, and may already be done. That's where we're at right now as of our recording. We're going to discuss kind of where this trial went from start to finish in its last days as they determine whether or not there's enough reasonable doubt to either convict or not convict Richard Allen of being the murderer in Delphi, Indiana. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining us to discuss last handful of days. We've had some very interesting testimony as the defense has had their chance. They rested after only just a few days, bringing in a lot of the experts, a lot of almost duplicate type experts to what the prosecution brought in, but from their perspective and seemingly with a little more credibility. What's been your take on what we've seen at the end of this trial?
I am so pleased at the quality of the experts the defense has brought in, you know, and I have tried to keep a very open mind on this case. It's been a weird case, but I've said for a long time, one of the most core factors, certainly in looking at guilt or innocence of Richard Allen for me, has been the timeline of when his psychotic symptoms started and how that aligns with the confessions, the 60-plus confessions. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I got answers to that. I took pages and pages of notes that now it's been broken down. And what I have learned is that we had a man who entered the prison that he's in with no psychotic symptoms. Mm-hmm. Now, he did have a diagnosis that he had had since childhood of major depressive disorder, which some people with major depression can become psychotic. Mm-hmm. And certainly under stress, they're more prone to it than other people. And we also know that people who are psychotic may very well confess to things that they didn't do. And so when we're looking at, is this a legit confession or is this a false hallucination, delusion confession, we have to know, were they psychotic when they started making the confessions? So we know that the first 4 months, according to Dr. Walla, who was the prison psychologist, Richard Allen was not psychotic. And then after 4 months, He had a religious conversion that happened very quickly. He began sleeping with his Bible and talking about wanting to be forgiven. And it happened like that. Mm-hmm. I think this was in, I believe it was in March. Yes, March 23. That was the beginning of the psychosis for him. And we often see these kind of almost bizarre, rapid-fire religious conversions. That can be an early sign of psychosis. And again, not saying that all religious people are psychotic.
Sure, yeah.
But when it happens like this, that's a red flag to me. Now, Dr. Walla, I have a lot of concerns about her at this point, based upon all the things that we've heard. She consistently maintained that when he started with some of the bizarre behavior, he was malingering, which means feigning symptoms for some kind of benefit. Mm-hmm. I think she was wrong. And clearly, over the course of the few weeks after that religious conversion, he became increasingly psychotic. The eating feces, you know, the naked, the masturbating while singing. I mean, just the bizarre behavior. I don't think people eat feces when they're feigning psychosis. I just, sorry, I can't go there. Now, I think there's bias within the prison system toward believing people are malingering because they do see a lot of it. It does happen a lot. But I think that can create a biased perception. And I am fairly certain, I'll stick my neck out and say that Dr. Walla was biased. This is also the psychologist who was inundated, you know, with her true crime material. And we know a lot of the stuff online has been painting him as guilty, 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 you know, for a long time now, ever since he was targeted as a suspect.
Yeah.
So I think we had very poor treatment with Dr. Walla. There was no testing done. We can do psych testing that looks for malingering. That was never done. I don't see any excuse for that. I mean, to me, that's, you know, malpractice. Eventually, Dr. Walla did call in her supervisor and another clinical person to look, take a look at him. And that's when they decided, okay, he is psychotic, and let's start some Haldol. They gave him an injection of Haldol. Was that the right medication? You know, not everybody responds to Haldol. It's an older medication. It's cheap. It was worth a try. I don't know that it helped. It may have helped a bit. But he did start to improve over time after he had had another dose and doses after that. So I think there was no question he was psychotic. I think he was psychotic before Dr. Walla understood what was happening. And I think maybe at that point she had difficulty backtracking. So that's why she called in some other people to take a look. And then we had testimony from, it was Dr. Westcott, who's a neuropsychologist, excellent credentials. And she did testing. She spent hours and hours with him, looked over all the records, and ended up with a 127-page report on this. And I think she did excellent work. It was well documented that he was psychotic. He had been psychotic for the, you know, after the first 4 months of solitary confinement. He did have major depressive disorder in addition to the psychotic. He was anxious, and that he was definitely not malingering and hadn't been malingering. Mm-hmm. So to me, this really tips the scale that these confessions are not credible.
Why do you think it is that Dr. Walla didn't, you know, do her due diligence on that until, like, after a while, calling other people in? I mean, you, like you said, it's malpractice at a certain point where it's like, why? I mean, if she wants to do certain tests, can she do them? Does she need a court approval? Does she need investigative approval or something to do that with the client? Or is that up to the doctor at that point?
I am guessing that it was within her discretion to choose to do it or not do it. And it makes no sense to me because I always will look back on, you know, somebody's unusual symptoms. And if I don't understand what's going on, immediately you get another set of eyes on the person, you get some more opinions. And if you can have testing done that's going to give diagnostic clarification, that's the ethical thing that you do. And you fight for that. So this is, I think, a case of malpractice you know, with the treatment he received in prison. She was seeing him for a long period of time. She was seeing him daily.
Yeah.
But I have real concerns about her possible bias, that she had already decided he was guilty and therefore was looking through a lens and a filter that she only saw what she wanted to believe.
It's scary.
Which is horrible.
The whole case of Richard Allen, we look back on it, and it's just one misstep after another. I mean, there's just so many things that were not done right or ethically in this entire case. Take his guilt or innocence out of it. It's like, could you guys have done a worse job at handling all these things? And what got me about the trial so much was how they were so gung-ho to go into this, knowing the stuff was going to be presented publicly and thinking it was going to be effective or powerful, or that no one was going to go, the hell were you doing? Like, none of this was by the book. None of this, like, really adds up. Was that a product of just kind of a group think where everybody in this small town, they thought they had their guy, they're all kind of working together on this with the prosecution, and they're just la, 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 we're not going to hear anybody else's input, and just plowed forward?
Yeah, the sentence that pops into my head is just not very smart.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a lot of people that just rubber stamp this without looking at the whole picture. And yeah, I'll add, is there still a possibility he did it? Sure.
Yeah.
But do we have reasonable doubt? Hell yeah.
No, a lot. Another big point that was made here in the trial of Richard Allen, beyond the mental health standpoint, this is right at the very end. And I think it really puts a big question mark into the case of the prosecution. Who put the headphone jack in Libby German's phone 5 hours after her disappearance? There was already the question that the phone became active after the girls were supposedly already dead, according to the official timeline. This shows somebody was using the phone with a headphone jack. And the phone's found by the bodies. So, I mean, that opens everything up. I mean, it could have been the girls if the timeline was simply off on their death. I mean, if they were entrapped somewhere and she had her headphones, she could have easily stuck them on her head. It's a weird one. Like, why would somebody grab her phone and walk around with headphones? Like, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense in any of this. But it happened, and it's a digital piece of evidence that the phone's not just going to make that up. So something happened there. And the prosecution has presented zero idea on how that happened. It's almost as if it didn't happen, but we know it did. How do you think that's going to play to the jury?
I am, you know, sometimes I'm surprised by what juries do, but this is just one of the weirdest cases I think we've seen. You know, we see a lot of horrible cases. This one is horrible, but it's also got so many weird elements to it that just at this point, from what we're seeing, they don't make sense.
And
that's just another strange piece that it's hard to create a scenario to understand it.
This, it's kind of legally, but I'm not asking for the legal answer to this question. I'm asking more so if someone came to you as a saying, I need an expert witness on this, where if he's found innocent and they go, oh, he wants to sue the shit out of everyone now. How good of a case do you think he has in terms of psychologically what was done incorrectly? I know you used the word malpractice there. Do you think that this would be a pretty strong case for just horrible, wrong treatment where they would be found very, very wrong and owe a lot of money if he's acquitted on this or found innocent?
Yeah, I as you say, it's legal. I don't know that's an option to sue, but ethically, I would certainly encourage that if it were an option.
There was the thing that comes to mind would be the case of To Catch a Murderer, I believe is what it was called. One in Wisconsin, Manitowoc County. I can think of Brian Dassey, the nephew. I can't think of the guy's name at this moment in time. He went to prison for another murder prior to the second one. And they found out, no, it wasn't the guy. And then he sued and won a lot of money from Manitowoc County. And then suddenly, surprise! We think you did a different murder. And that was another one with a lot of questionable evidence as well.
Yeah. And that Reed interrogation technique with the nephew. I mean, we got to watch that in the documentary, which was just horrifying the way that kid was manipulated.
Yeah.
So
Making of a Murderer was the documentary, and it, Stephen Avery, there we go. It was going to bug me until I could think of his name. I'm from up there, so I remember some of that going on back in the day.
Really well done documentary that went into so much detail about what went wrong with that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Fascinating case. We'll see where the jury takes it, and if this is, maybe we're at a conclusion, and maybe Richard Allen can try and have some semblance of a life. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapist provides specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.